Well, glory to God. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. This will be the third part of a faith that sees you through. A faith that sees you through. And we're going to stay on this subject for a little bit as we go through. And we're going to look here. We see this definition of faith. I'm going to pray here in just a minute and ask for the Lord to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. Let me pray. Father, I do lift that up right now, that the Holy Spirit come right now and bless us, O Lord God. That, Father God, the extraordinary hand of the Lord would be, Lord, in the mighty touch upon each and every one of us. We want to present ourselves before the presence of the Lord, and we want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you have your way, and may you be glorified, O Lord God. May you give us ears to hear and eyes to see as we give thanksgiving to your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, a faith that sees you through. Well, this is our foundation scripture that we've been looking at. And we're going to look at it here in verse 1, and this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith, and it begins to describe and give a description of just exactly what is faith. Now faith is, and I'm reading New American Standard, is an assurance. Faith is an assurance. And what do we see out of that is that I want you to see that the power of God comes to those that decide in their heart that they will believe God. And you have to make the decision that you're going to believe God. But once you make the decision to believe God, God does not leave you out there by yourself to believe upon Him. He begins to maneuver in my heart, in your heart. He begins to take the little that I give Him, and He begins to cause it to grow into a greatness. He wants to bring you and I into a greatness of faith. This is why the Lord will try you. This is why the Lord will allow you to find yourself in the hot spot where you need to get down on your knees and you need to call on the name of the Lord. And you got urgencies that are going on in your life. These are not simply by accident. It's not because everything's gone haywire. There's the hand of Almighty God that He's working in the midst of it. Even if you didn't cause it, even if it was done to you, it doesn't make any difference. Maybe it's just the chaos of living in this world and the way that life is and the things that just simply happen. This idea that if you walk by faith and you walk by God, that you're like walking on cloud nine, nothing ever happens to you, you're never tried, you're always victorious, and you got lots of bucks in your pocket. This is a false message, and it brings a condemnation to those that go through struggles, thinking that somehow we must be missing the mark. You know, I wouldn't be going through this. I'd be walking up cloud nine all the time. You know, these are not correct words that are being spoken. I love the way of faith. I'm not scared to talk about faith. Faith is the central foundation of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of those with good hearts have kind of shied away because there's been a ruin that you might say that has come of a wrong message about faith. And every time you talk about faith, faith is always identified with that group. Well, may I say that that's just not true. That is just not true. We must be a people of faith. You cannot walk with God unless you walk with God. Through faith. Faith is not the emergency hatch. It's not, oh, you know, you try to grab a hold of faith when, oh, you know, you're about to bail out of the plane. You know, you need Him right now, you know, in the midst of it. He's not the emergency hatch. This is the way that you have fellowship. This is the way that you walk with God. This is the way of the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a covenant of faith through grace. As you believe upon the Lord and you believe upon the covenant of the Lord and you believe upon the way of the Lord, then you find the living work of the grace of God flowing in your life. That's another thing that I want you to realize and I want you to see. Whatever provisions of grace that you have right now, whatever provisions of grace that you need increased in your life for tomorrow, it will be there. And what I mean to tell you when it's going to be there? Tomorrow, when you need it. That's when it comes. You know, and we find that grace, that God's response to faith is always grace. This is the way of the covenant. You know, we believe upon the Lord. It's not only a salvation on the basis of faith through grace, it's a walk. It's a walk of fellowship, and it's a communion that is rooted and grounded in the foundations of faith. There's something I want to tell you, though. Oh, hallelujah. And that is, I want you to know that, you know, faith grows. There's scripture for that. Faith grows. You can have all types of faith in your life. You know, you can have little faith, or, you know, you can have great faith. Faith is a living work, and it's not a living work by your own hand. You make the choice that you are going to believe God. And when you open up your heart and you open up your mouth and you begin to walk after the way of faith, and whatever little that you give him, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of the living God begins to move in the midst of it. So that thing will grow and it will expand and it will move in power. It will give you life. It will reveal revelation, knowledge to you by the hand of Almighty God. This is the very avenue in which you see in the realm of the Spirit. I want you to hear that. Did you know that God wants you to see? Did you know that you can see? You can see. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit in the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you eyes to see. He will give you ears. Do you know the way that you hear? You don't hear because you learned some secret method or way of hearing, or because of your natural ears. How do you hear? How do you hear God? You hear through faith. And the more you live in it, and the more you let God have his way in it, and the more that you'll walk after it, then the more freedom and the liberty that the Holy Spirit of God has in you to be able to bring you into the spiritual aspects and realms that faith provides. And this outcome right here. And now faith is the assurance. So that only comes from God. Only God can do that. This is not a being a convinced. This is not mind over matter. This is not having just simply a positive attitude. Positivity is real good, but we don't live in a positivity. We live in a living hope. A living hope is what we live in. Not simply in being positive. Things don't turn out for your good simply because you're positive. I didn't say there wasn't a positive aspect to faith, but it's not really positive. It's hopeful. And its roots and its foundations are not in something simply happening. It's in the Lord our God. Now, faith is the assurance. And here's the beginning point, is that faith is the assurance. And then here it is, the things hoped for. I'm going to read it on. I'll come back to that. The things hoped for. And the conviction, this all comes together, and the conviction of things not seen. Of things not seen. But yet, they're not seen, but yet they are seen, but they're seen through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of the natural man. Notice that right here that I've given this to you, and I just want to seize on it for just a moment, that word hoped for. This is the beginning place. The rest of it, if you'll notice, the rest of it is all comes from the hand of Almighty God. It all comes from the hand of Almighty God. And what it means right here is that things hoped for, that word elpazo is the word for expectation. It means expectation. I would ask you this morning, what is your level of expectation in God? Do you walk in expectation? Do you practice expectation? Do you have any expectation from God? Or is faith simply the emergency hatch? I come to faith and I come to believe God, oh, when there's something I really need or I'm in an awful spot or whatever it would be, then I try to believe God. No, walk with God. Walk with him. Walk with him. Believe upon the Lord your God with all of your heart. Walk in the covenant of Almighty God. And the more you believe upon the Lord, the more you practice faith and walk after faith, the greater faith that you will receive. And the more of the abundance of God's grace will flow from his hand to your life. Grace is also living. It's not simply a doctrine. And it's not sliding by. It's not being left unchanged. Grace transforms you because grace brings the provision of Almighty God into your life. And when the provision of Almighty God comes into your life, it has with it the elements of the transforming power of Almighty God. You're transformed by that work of grace. You're lifted in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your way, in your thinking, in your activities, and on, perspective and value and the like. The grace of God. You lose heart for certain things. Glory to God. And then you gain heart for other things. Glory to God. But grace will not flow in your life. Did you receive saving grace? Praise the Lord. Where is it now? Where is it now? The abundance of the grace of God comes to those that walk by faith because they believe upon the Lord. And what is it to believe upon the Lord? What is it to believe upon the Lord? It means that I walk in and that I live in a spirit and a heart of expectation in the Lord. Expectation. What do you expect from the Lord? What do you expect from the Lord? Very important question. Now, there's something else that I want you to see here. I want you to see that you've got to protect what God has given you. And you've got to walk after it with all your heart. To be honest with you, that's the very way that you do protect it. If you walk with the Lord with all of your heart, then you will find the protecting hand of Almighty God. He'll take you and me in hand, and he'll cause my baby faith to grow up in him. And my baby faith will grow so strong to where I will be able to believe God for things that you could never wise ever receive or even comprehend or even understand with your intellectual mind. Because it's revealed by the power of God. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at this. Come back up here in this 10th chapter. I don't know what the pages are in your Bible, but you can just look up the page here. And I want you to see. Look at this in verse 39. It says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction." Look on, it says, "But of those who have faith, but have faith to the preserving of the soul." You know, if we do not walk with the Lord in the way that we are to walk before him, that you can end up shrinking back from your faith. That's why you have to protect your faith by pressing forward with a whole heart to believe God. You have to bring everything to him. Whatever is after you, whatever seeks you out. There are many things that the evil one brings our way to try to somehow throw cold water on you. The evil one wants to throw cold water on you. And he throws cold water on you so that he can cool you down a little bit. That he can make you apprehensive. That he can make you fearful. And one of the ways that he does that, you know, is hurts and wounds. In the name of Jesus, may you be delivered of every hurt and every wound right now. May the healing hand of Almighty God, whether it's in church, whether it's in relationships, no matter what it would be, that in the name of Jesus, as you surrender up your hurt to the Lord God right now, that in Jesus' name, that it all be removed and all be healed in Jesus' name. Because you'll pull back. Because I'm not going to put myself out there like that no more. I'm not going to put myself out there like that no more. And then there's a reservedness, not the right kind, that comes into your heart. And it keeps you from giving yourself wholeheartedly to put your hand to the work, to put your hand to the faith, to put your hand to the do, whatever it would be. You know, there's been many. Here's another one right here. Let me just read it to you. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And it says right here, keeping faith, verse 19, and a good conscience. Did you hear that? Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck. Shipwreck of what? In regard to their faith. Did you hear that? All right, one, we just got through looking here in Hebrews 10, and that, you know, there are those that can shrink back. They shrink back in their faith. And what do they shrink back to? Is it without consequence? The Word of God says, it says to destruction. It says to destruction. You know, they shrink back from where they were once, but now they've shrink back from it, and they suffer destruction. Here, their faith, it's their faith. Everybody say their faith. Their faith ends up shipwreck. You cannot walk recklessly and carelessly before the Lord and walk with God just any old way you think you want to walk before God. You've got to submit yourself. You've got to submit yourself to the way of the Lord. You have to make yourself that servant of Almighty God. And when I say the servant, then I'm going to walk after you and I'm going to walk after your ways. I am no longer my own. I have been bought and paid for with a price. I am now the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have a right to think what I want to think. I don't have a right to say whatever I want to say. Not in Jesus, you don't. There's an element of surrender that you give to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk after Him no matter what comes. If you're abused, then you're abused. If you're used, then you're used. Now, whatever it would happen. You know, and the evil one wants to throw cold water on your faith. You know when he wants to usually do it? About the time it really gets to moving. Oh, yeah. Oh, about the time you know you're feeling really good. You know, we're moving on up. You know, praise the name of the Lord. I feel more confident in God. You know, I can feel it. Oh, Lord God, I got that working in my brain. I got that working in my heart. I sense and I feel that assurance that it's talking about. Oh, and I have some kind of conviction that's raising up in me that I can't even explain, that I can't see it, but I know it. And then the old devil comes along and says, well, here, let me douse a little cold water on you, okay? Let me douse a little cold water on you. Let's just see how hot you are after I douse you a few times. You know, and you know what? Oh, you better get ready, okay? You better get ready, all right? You better know that the evil one knows your hot buttons. The Bible calls them weaknesses, okay? But he knows your hot buttons. He knows how to dash your heart. If he can. Let me just, if you, I want you to hear some of these things. We know that the evil one will challenge you. He will challenge you, especially when you start getting a fire going in your heart by the Lord. You start opening up your heart just a little bit more than you've ever opened up. And it kind of feels a little bit funny because it makes you feel a little bit vulnerable or whatever it would be. And you know, you're going to step out there. You're going to begin to believe God. You're going to begin to speak things that I could end up looking foolish. But, you know, you just don't really care whether you looked foolish or not. You're going to go ahead and you're going to speak those things because you can never find them and you will never have them until you begin to speak them. Here comes that cold water. This is something I find very interesting. I want you to just listen to this. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. You know, when I read that, you know what I've got to tell you? You know, when I read that, I said, oh, Lord, is that really true about us anymore? Is it really true anymore that the saints of God are really, are not ignorant of the schemes of the evil one? Is that really true among the people of God? Sometimes I really wonder if that is true. But that's where we're supposed to be. That's where we're supposed to be in the Lord. That comes by walking in the Spirit. That comes through the way of the Spirit. If we're not a people of the Spirit, don't expect that you're going to have perceptions of understandings of things that come in the Spirit. You'll walk like that, just that old natural man. The only thing different between me now and before I got saved was I go to church now, and you know, I hold on to certain Christian values, but I'm just as natural thinking man now in Jesus as I was before I ever got saved. Something's wrong with that. Because that's not the way of God. Well, let me finish that verse. It says, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. Oh, man. You know that word schemes right there? You know, the Greek word for scheme is methodia. That is M-E-T-H-O-D-E-I-A, methodema. That is where we get the word method. It's where we get the word method. Do you want to hear its definition? You know, like, we're not ignorant of his schemes. Methodia, it means to employ a craft or a deceitful scheme. To employ a craft or a deceitful scheme. Listen to this one. May I give you this one? It comes from Ephesians in chapter 6, and this is in verse 11, and it says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. But do you know that that's a different word? Now, we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that the word for schemes is methodia. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, is not the word methodia, it's nomia. N-O-M-E-A. Nomia, a thought, a purpose. How about this? A mind toward. Nomia, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. Don't be afraid, but he's thinking about you. How can I set him up for a fall? How can I set him up for a fall? And I want to tell you, you know where you have your safety and your security is found in the walk of the Spirit. If you're hanging out there in that old flesh man, I have no advice for you. And I can't give you anything to make you feel better. You must walk with the Lord. You must surrender your heart to Jesus. You must walk after the way of the Spirit. You must no longer be your own. And he will keep you with his keeping power even while the transformation is taking place. He will keep you in the midst of your weaknesses. He'll be better to you and to me than what we deserve. Right? He'll be better to you and me. Because here's the point. The point will be the intention of the heart. That becomes the point, is the intention of the heart. How God looks at things, the word of the Lord says that he looks to the heart. He looks to the heart. You know, sometimes maybe we quote, unquote, flub up, okay? And I'm not making an excuse for sin at all. Repent of sin. Know that sin will destroy your life. Know that if you play with sin, the destruction will be right behind it. And you need to have a holy fear of God. And that is truly, it's not only simply reverence and awe. It is a fear of the judgment of God. It is a fear of the consequences that the word of the living God says this has destruction upon it. And if he says that it has destruction upon it, destruction will eventually come. That's why Jesus is a Savior. And now he saves us from our sins, but he brings his transforming power to deliver us from those things, the traps, those schemes that the evil one would otherwise set up. And know that these words are being spoken to the saints of Almighty God. They're not being spoken to the world. These warnings are not being given to natural man. These warnings are being given to those that claim the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that we have an enemy against our soul. And we know that he seeks to destroy us. And we know that he doesn't ever give up on us. If he can't begin to destroy you, and when you're young in the Lord, then he'll try to destroy you when you become more seasoned, I won't use the word old, but when you become more seasoned in the Lord. These are two very dangerous times for the saints of Almighty God. When they're the babes in the Lord, and when they're the babes of the Lord, the temptations crowd in, the way of the world crowd in, the way of the flesh crowds in, and it becomes a fight, then it becomes a battle. And what happens to the older saints, more seasoned saints, is that familiarity breeds contempt. Seen there, know that, done that. But they have no fire of God. We need to be aware. The Lord will bring us into victory, and He'll bring His keeping power in our life. And it's all because I make a decision that, Lord God, that I'm going to believe upon You. I'm going to have all of the audacity. I'm going to have all of the boldness. I'm going to have all of the moxie that where I'm going to call, and I'm going to believe upon the name of the Lord. While everybody else thinks that I'm crazy and thinks that I'm foolish, you know, I'm going to walk in that place where I call upon the name of the Lord. That's who God moves in. He moves upon the righteous in that way. Look at this. I've got you here. All right. Now, here you are. Turn back there for just a minute. I'm going to go back over here. In Hebrews, again, look at this as we come through here. In Hebrews chapter 11, again, it says this. I'll read that verse again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2 says, for by it the men of old gained approval. Well, let's come on down here in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. You know, that's received by faith. You seek God, and then you look for the encouragement that something's coming out of it. And then you look at it, and you don't find any. You don't find any encouragement coming, as you perceive it, coming. You know, as you seek God. And then the next thing that happens to someone is that discouragement comes into their heart. Or they have no endurance of faith. And then that's when they're dashed to the ground and they surrender and they give up. Do you understand that you have to seek the Lord according to the promise that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him? And when you seek after the Lord, you know by faith that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. You let God do what He wants to do, what He needs to do, when He needs to do it, according to His will, His way, and His timing. But you know that you're going to receive from the hand of Almighty God. And you know it because of the promise that's been given to you by faith. When you begin to believe on the hand of the Lord, you begin to believe such promises as this from the word of the Lord. What does the Holy Spirit begin to do? Excuse me. The Holy Spirit begins to bring assurances into your heart that the reward is coming your way. That your seeking after the face of God is not in vain. The evil one will tell you why God's not listening to you. The evil one will tell you, you know, why God's not hearing, why you don't deserve for the Lord to hear you or to answer you. You know, not only will he do that, but you know that the evil one loves to use ridicule. Did you know that he uses ridicule? Did you know that he uses belittling? You know, about the time that you begin to stand up and get resolve in your heart, and you know, as the process of change comes, you know, you step two steps forward, you take later one step back. You know, you're being perfected in that way of the Lord. And then at that momentary place of weakness, the evil one attacks with ridicule. Oh, look at you. You know, I thought you were doing so good. I thought you were believing God. Is that believing God? Are you believing God now? You know, da-da-da-da-da, and on and on and on. And this is the work of the evil one, because he knows he's got to challenge you in every way that he can to keep you from going forward, because he knows that you believe God. God's going to add to that measure of faith, and he's going to turn the littleness of your faith into the greatness of faith. Now look on down through here, as we've read here in verse 6. I'll just use an example here. In verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, now look here carefully, being warned by God. Now, all right, did you see that? Being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. And when he did that, look at this, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Can you possibly imagine that scene right there? You know, he didn't build that in a few days or a few weeks or a few months, right? You know, they estimate about 50 years that were involved in building the ark. And can you possibly imagine all of the time and all of the effort and all of the devotion and the like that came with building the ark? And he built it on what? What did he do? He built it on things not seen, is what the word says. He built it on things not seen. But now that's not where it began. Will you look here with me in that same verse right here? It says, by faith, Noah being warned by God. God had warned him. He saw something. He heard something. Something had been revealed to him in the realm of the Spirit. And in the realm of the Spirit, when he saw it, it was so vivid and so real and so alive that it caused him to be able to act upon those things not seen. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord does as we begin to reach out in that way of faith. You know, faith has been kind of turned into like a mechanical action. You know, and then, you know, not only is faith turned into a mechanical action, you know, you do this and you do that, and then here comes the promise of God. And it doesn't make any difference nobody talks about the condition of your heart. No, nobody talks about your ambition. Do we talk about that shipwreck faith? You know, I've seen many become shipwrecked in their faith because they're seeking after the face of God has entered into the realm of having wrong motives before the Lord, especially with that so-called faith and prosperity message. Now, I don't mind talking about it because it's evil, because it's just flat-out evil. First of all, God's not promised to make you rich. Secondly, your spirituality is not judged based upon whether you're rich or whether you're not rich. And then secondly, is that's not the purpose. I guarantee you, if you could have Abraham sitting right here, right now, and we want to talk about the riches of Abraham, well, of course, that's why God's going to make us all rich, because, you know, we're heirs of promise with Abraham. I guarantee you the riches that you and I have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Abraham sitting right here today would gladly give up every sheep and every camel and everything else that he had to have the riches that you and I possess now, currently, in the kingdom of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you at a later date that by the Spirit he saw them all. I'll also show you by the scriptures later at a later date that Abraham saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. Look at this scripture. I'm going to come at the end here, but this is now, look on down here, and verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, look at this, not knowing where he was going. He went out of faith and out of obedience. The Lord wants you and I to believe upon Him. Now, I said that this faith has become such a mechanical thing, and that Jesus is not the point. Jesus is just the gateway to get to what I really want. That message has always disturbed me, because Jesus is not the treasure. He's not the goal, but yet He is. We put more faith in the promises than we do the promiser. If you want to receive the promises, you don't skip the promiser. Jesus is your prize. He is your prize. And everything flows, as the promises do, from the promiser. And you will have no problem believing God for the promises when you allow the promiser to have His way with you, have His will with you, and you become knowledgeable of Him by association through the Spirit, that it becomes a natural act of believing upon the promise, not some mechanical process. It doesn't start with the promises. It starts with the promiser. Draw near. Get acquainted. Get acquainted. Go deeper. Go deeper. Pardon me and forgive me as I say it. Don't be spiritually lazy. Don't be spiritually lazy. Faith and expectation begins to grow in your heart. This becomes the fuel of seeking the face of God, because expecting from God becomes alive and real within you, to the point to where it drives you to prayer. It drives you to prayer. It drives you to spend time with the Lord. It drives you to call upon the name of the Lord. Because there's something has grabbed a hold of you, and it's the expectation of Almighty God. Kathy, why don't y'all come on? Oh, Lord God, I don't know how to give it to you, but as you're crying out in that manner, you are giving it to Him. And in the midst of it, you're finding something happened. Doggone it, it was a good thing that I gave that to God, you know. You know, I thought that it made me be me, you know, or I didn't know why I was that way, or I've always been that way. Again, my mama was like that, you know, or whatever would be. It doesn't matter, but it enmeshes itself in the fabric of your personality, but it is of a destructive nature. Anything you have that meshes itself into the fabric of your personality, but it has a destructive nature to it, is not God. It is not God. And it is not the will of God. And the last thing you ever want to do is learn how to live with it. Learn how to live with it. That's when you settle, and that's when you have no hope of your deliverance. So let Him mess with you. Let Him mess with you. Be willing. Open your heart. Let Him mess with you. Now, He's going to go for deep-rooted things, you know. Oh, let me tell you something. Just don't waste your breath, because I've done it a million times, and it takes a while to learn, but I'm trying to help you. You can't bargain with God. You're looking at a professional. I am a reformed bargainer. I belong to the Bargain Hunters Anonymous. I'm the chairman of the committee. Groveling doesn't work either. You know, we have ways of influence. Sometimes they're subconscious, right? As to how we influence people around us. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We might be very well aware of those devices, but then sometimes, again, we don't maybe fully know or fully aware, but we, like to play on people's emotions. Some people do it methodically, viciously, wickedly, and evil, but others have learned a way, all right? And they play on the emotions, start crying, or something. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Yeah. Or whatever. But groveling, the kids do it. And they get their way. You know what I'm talking about. You get so tired of being pestered, that you give in and say, okay then, go ahead. It worked. We do it as adults too. Oh, groveling, acting pitiful, right? I think I've told you, I'll probably tell it a million times, but I was, on the floor, groveling before God. I was a pitiful mess. You would have been impressed. I was a pitiful mess. I really was. And I was just going to town. Oh, God. I was going to town, right? And all of a sudden I decided I'd stop and take a breath, right? And about the time I stopped and took a breath, I heard the voice of God. Are you through? I'll never forget that. Clear as a bell. Are you through? Yeah, I think so. Might as well get off the floor. And then, yes, Lord. See, God delivers us all of these things because these are afflictions that get in the way of a true faith. He removes these things. Sometimes it hurts, but it's okay because the benefits are far, far greater than the loosening of that affliction that has ingrained itself and meshed itself even into your personality. Hallelujah. Oh, we just bless you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart and give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a word. God is moving his people up higher. This Sunday is a Sunday of rising. This is the word the Lord gave me late last night. But I want you to, as you hear it, how many times you've already heard it this morning. Which is amazing to my about my God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a point in a time. May we prepare ourselves. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. This is the word that the Lord did give me. And that in the name of Jesus, I loose this word here on September the 8th of 2024. And I declare it over you, the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in your heart. Stand up in the Lord your God. Receive from his mighty hand. Rise up and be counted for in the kingdom of God. Let me have your heart and all that is in you. Will I not magnify my name over you? Will I not lead you in the way of life and glory? Will I not keep you, raise you, and bless you? Will I not receive you to myself and let you behold me? I declare now you shall receive an abundance. An open door is before you. Come, step into the house that is yours. Lounge about on the furnishings I provide. A house of glory and grace built for you. Come, step through the doorway and receive of mine. And then the Lord gave me these scriptures at that time. I will read them. In John 10:7, Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Here's verse 9. Pay a special attention. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Receive this declaration in the name of Jesus. Receive this declaration. In Jesus' name, let an abundance of pasture be released now into the lives of the people of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kathy, would you all come on? If you don't mind. In the name of Jesus. May the impartation of grace and power and love be upon the people of God today in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you a little story. Then I'll let you go. I really felt that strong impression. The devil's been trying to kill you all your life. Okay? That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be. They induced labor in the 7th month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds. I weighed 4 pounds.